all these goblins doing here? Where are my Kibbernel?
Out the window, obviously.
Your Kibbernel are dead, Grego, Damien said. The barefooters and I killed them after they destroyed our homes and farms. That's what it said in here anyway. But Damien was wrong.
Oops.
When Drago started the destroyed Huntress, some of the Tibernel fed on an intergalactic ship. Arriving in the Milky Way galaxy and infiltrating the primitive cultures they found here. But who are the Tibernel? He asked. Long ago, when the universe was a few million light years smaller, the planet Huntress was inhabited by two telepathic species. The Barungi, small in stature with characteristic pink hair, were for the most part agriculturalists, farming the fertile lowlands of that world, while the tall, blonde-headed Tibernel gazed down upon them from their lofty highways. Ruling over both was the Pasha, the rare, omniscient spawn of their crossbreeding. Drago, the last of that kind, in an act of seemingly mindless stupidity, destroyed their world with his starving. But that act cast long shadows, echoing down through millions of years to a new flashback. At the end of Cry of the Bunyips, Joel's parents gave him a book for his birthday. This book, A Parallel Path, written by my Spanish friend Marco Peel. It tells of a boy and girl separated by four centuries, yet feeling each other's presence as they walk barefoot through France and Spain, fleeing the evils of their respective times. Back then I hinted that perhaps Joel and Lorraine might someday follow in their footsteps. And now, 5 years on as they begin their honeymoon, that has come to pass. So we join them in the French city of Arles as they begin their barefoot pilgrimage. This time I've got the place marked.
Organised.
The horn's blast caused Joel to almost jump out of his skin. Watch out, Lorraine cried, grabbing his hand and pulling him back as the car sped by, its horn still blasting. Bloody Europeans driving on the wrong side of the road, Joel said, sitting down on the ground as his legs turned the rubber. That's not their fault. You must be more careful, Joel. I'm too young to become the Dowager Widow Morrison. Sorry. He pulled a couple of muesli bars from his backpack. Want one? Thanks. I didn't expect we'd be crisscrossing so many busy roads. Lorraine opened the Camino app on her phone. This looks to be about the last one. Then it's cross-country to Vouvert. The respite from the roads was quite what Joel had expected, though. For the red and white markers led them onto a seemingly endless gravel path alongside the canal. I hope it's not gravel like this all the way to Spain. It has to be worse than the damn Cabal Creek footpaths back home. Lorraine skipped on ahead. What's wrong? Have you become a tenderfoot all of a sudden? No way. Taking a deep breath, he began jogging after her, surprised to find the gravel her face running across it and then carefully walking. Or perhaps the pain's just too short-lived to register, he mused. Just as he was beginning to wonder how much more of this punishment his feet could endure, the path crossed a canal on a small ridge, before opening onto a dirt track winding its way through orchards and woods. I must admit, Lorraine said, this is much nicer. Joel paused, pulling his water bottle from his pack and taking a long sip while soaking up the countryside. Yes, much better. Birds chirped high in the trees as they passed through, while in the distance you could just make out the sound of a tractor pulling a fruit harvester or something. He wondered what it would be like spending the rest of his days working on a farm like this, beside him, under the warm summer sun at least, It wouldn't be bad at all. They went into the bed and could find a middle-aged couple sitting on the side of the track. One, having removed his boot and sock, the fine layers that stood inside the boot and twisted the heel. Bonjour. G'day, Joel said without thinking. You must be Australian, the woman said in heavily accented English. That explains your bare feet. Yes, we're on our honeymoon. So are we. That's wonderful. Congratulations. You too. I don't know how you can stand walking barefoot on the rough ground. It must hurt the soles terribly. No, not at all. But then neither of us have ever worn shoes. Amazing. Are you going all the way to San Diego? We hope so. Joel's determined to go the whole way without wearing a shirt either, Lorraine said. Be careful in this hot sun or you'll burn to a cinder. But you must be used to that in Australia. Yes, we are. But I have lots of sunscreen with me. I wish you well then, although the Pyrenees can be very cold, even in summer. Is it snow? Joel had never seen snow before and had no idea how cold it might be. Sometimes, be sure to put a warm Coke in your pack before you get there. I will, thanks. We mustn't detain you any longer. You both have a good pilgrimage. You too. Well, will you? Lorraine asked once they were out of earshot. Will I what? Wear a coat through the Pyrenees. Not if I can help it. She chuckled. I didn't think so. You'll be the first pilgrim to freeze to death in the middle of summer. I'll be fine. I'm nature boy, remember? She tickled his ribs. How could I forget? The dirt track through the fields abruptly ended at a small bridge over a stream, with Vouvert's suburbia immediately on the other side. Bloody civilization again, Joel said, sighing. Cheer up, that man's food and something cold to drink. Oh, right. I'll even buy you an ice cream if you're good. Joel poked his tongue out at her. This French bread is very nice, Joel said. Yes, but we'll probably be sick of it by the time we reach home. How come? Didn't you notice? It's about the only thing you can buy in these small towns. You mean there are no fish and chip shops? Not a one, if you don't count the American hamburger chains.
No Mexican restaurant.
Which I don't. What about chicken shops? No, just bakeries, bakeries, and more bakeries. Oh no, I'll die of junk food deprivation. I'll make sure to put that on your headstone. Some nature boy you're turning out to be. You should be living off wild berries and yams. Joel poked his tongue out again. Where to next? Gradually Montreux, if that's how you say it. How far? You don't have sore feet already, do you? Of course not. I'm just curious, that's all. You're very curious. All right, it's about 8 kilometres. Easy peasy. Is it roads or fields? Mostly fields, by the look of it. Yay! What do you reckon? Lorraine asked as they stood outside a restaurant in Gradually Montreux. This'll do me, girls. Joel pulled a t-shirt out of his backpack, slipping it on before following Lorraine inside. You must be the Australian pilgrims, the mate really said. How to guess? He pointed to their feet. I suppose we could expect a lot of this, Lorraine said. Would you like to sit inside or out? Outside would be nice, as long as it's upwind of any smokers. Follow me. Their table was in the corner of the courtyard with an overhanging olive tree, providing shade from the late afternoon sun. The cool paving stones underfoot provided welcome contrast to the day's mix of dirt tracks, bitumen and gravel. What are you having? Lorraine asked, glancing down at the menu. Wild berries and yams. Now it was her turn to poke her tongue out. The pie fettuccine with mushrooms looks nice. What about you? I'll have the frog's legs and snails. Really? She watched his face contort as he contemplated what such a meal might taste like. You're joking, right? Lorraine laughed. As tempting as it sounds, I think I'll go for the steak. Their orders placed, they sat back, sipping on French wine while soaking up the Mediterranean atmosphere. Across the other side of the courtyard, a blonde-headed man watched them intently. Thank you to Cameron for helping me make the choice of passage to read. Now, when you click your books, make sure to turn to the dedication page, because the dedicatee is here with us tonight. Please stand, Kevin.
Yay!
For Kevin Dawson, in appreciation of his ongoing support throughout the series, and particularly his help with the launch of Cry of Abundance.
And that's not Narwhal's shape.
the book is also dedicated to the memory of Craig Smith, who came to Fancy Team, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago, age 49. So, thank you all for coming.
Thank you for having us.